We're going to get ourselves out of the way now and turn the rest of the day over to our prestigious guest. Again, you guys, Dr. Hughes doesn't receive a dime for coming out here. This is all on his own time away from his wife and kids. And after being on vacation for a week, and let me back up before that, he was in Southern California for a week working with his team. And before that, he was in, Arizona working with his team. I mean, the guy's been all over. You should see his month of June travel schedule. It's one place to another, because he is in such high demand all over the United States, but literally flew home from the Dominican Republic, slept one night in his bed, got back on the plane, and flew here to be with us. I mean, this guy's only seen his kids a few hours in the last week because of vacation, and now volunteering to come here to be a servant leader and show us this information. I can tell you, you're going to want to get a pen or paper, something to take notes, because the information that he's going to share with you will dramatically change your business. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Platinum Executive Director, Dr. David Hughes. You guys ready to learn? Now, I know if you invested $500,000 in a franchise, I wouldn't have to ask you to take notes, would I? So I'm not. Or maybe I just did. But anyways, I encourage you to take notes, because I'm going to be going over some information that I think will make a huge, huge difference in your business. But, it's just the other day, I want to share the story with you, because it was just so weird, because I live in the foothills of the Rocky Mountain National Forest in Loveland, Colorado. And right outside our house, across the way, there's a field, and then there's a church. And I'm looking out my window, and I saw the craziest thing the other day. I saw this, I'm looking out, and I see these birds. And these birds are literally, they're walking, and they're in a single file line, and they're going into this church. And I'm thinking, that is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Look, all these birds are just walking in this church. And so I continue to watch, and I'm a little curious to what's going on here. And then I want to get a close look. So I walk outside, and I go up close to the church, and I kind of peek inside. And what I find is that there's a preacher bird. And the preacher bird is telling all these other birds that they have wings, and that if they flap those wings, they'll actually start to fly. And so the preacher was like, you can be free, you can fly, you can flap those wings. And so they started to test it out. So they started flapping the wings a little bit, and they started to leave the ground. They're like, oh my gosh. Next thing you know, this whole church was swarming with birds everywhere. It was the craziest thing, if y'all have seen this. And so I'm like, wow, this is weird. And so they're all flying around, wow, we're free, and it's so amazing. And after the congregation got back and church was over, they all walked home. So I share that story because I hope that you will apply the information that I'm going to share with you. Not that it's just going to be sound good and you're going to understand, this sounds good here in this room. But if you apply this information, I'm telling you, it's going to make the biggest difference in your business. It truly will set you free, just like the birds. So what I want to do is I want to jump into a training tonight. I'm going to cover two different topics. The first topic I'm going to talk about is how to create momentum within the industry and within your business. Okay, and we're going to talk about some of the things that keep people from really accomplishing momentum and creating that momentum in their business. So we're going to go in that. I'm not going to sugarcoat this training. I'm going to tell you the way it is. I'm going to tell you in the 10 years in the history of network marketing that I've been in this industry, what I've studied, what I've seen. And I'm going to just tell you the way it is. Is that fair enough? Okay? And so some of you may not like what I have to say, but I'm going to tell you because it's fact. I'm going to tell you because I know that these are the things that create momentum in network marketing. If you want to build time and financial freedom, if you want to have the dream lifestyle, the dream cars, the dream house, to be able to travel, to give more into charity, to be able to do those things in life, rather than just living a life of mediocrity, Folks, you can do that right here with Prepaid Legal, and I will show you the things that will keep people from creating that lifestyle, and I will show you ways to create it. Fair enough? Y'all ready? Okay, and then the second part of my training is going to be on some culture. How do you create culture? Because once you've brought on a team, how do you get them to continue to grow and develop into a mature, large organization? So I'm going to end on that information. So let's jump into the first part. Are these working? What's that? Oh, is it just not sending the signal up? No? Okay. So we're going to talk about understanding the industry and how to position yourself for wealth. And so as I jump into this, you know, you're going to hear today the real truth on how momentum is created and the roadmap to how to create those kind of dream lifestyles. And I'm going to talk about really a rescue operation. I'm going to talk about there are people who go through challenges in building a business and network marketing, and they wonder, why is it that they can't really make this business work? You know, all of the things I'm going to talk about, we'll talk about the industry, your company, and your business, and your market. All of these things can be applied in each of those four areas. And so, a lot of times when people come into this business, they really don't know how to create leverage. And I'm going to give you a recipe later on, a formula. If you follow that formula, you're going to be able to have massive success and huge duplication in your business. But what a lot of times people do is they get into the business and they really just start spinning plates. Okay? A grinder. A plate spinner. And what I mean, you guys ever seen those plate spinners before? Okay, some people go out there and they start just spinning these plates and they get one going. So that's your associate. Okay, you got an associate going now. And then you come over here and you get another one going. And then, you know, you just keep doing that, but eventually you got to go back and spin that plate again. You got to spin that plate again to keep things going. And then eventually it just gets to where it's too hard to handle, and sometimes it starts to look like this right up here. And sometimes people's organization looks like that. And that's, you know, that's not how you create duplication. And sometimes people find themselves, they're stuck in that daily grind of trying to make this business work. And so we're going to talk about another way, and that's where you truly become a rock star in this industry, where you become, you know, have the business, the dream lifestyle, the income, to create all of those things and the wonderful trappings of success. So, what would you want to be? Grinder or a rock star? Rock star. Some of y'all weren't sure about that. I'll ask again, how many of y'all want to be?
Rock star.
All right, great. That sounds a little better. You now sound convicted. So, you know, rock star with the dream lifestyle. So let's talk about how we create this momentum. Now, first of all, it's critical that, you know, what is momentum? That's where you are able to create exponential growth. Okay? Where you're really able to take off and see huge success. And exponential growth is where it starts. It's not just where it gradually grows, but where it just continues to multiply on itself. And now, everyone claims to have exponential growth, or they're about to hit it. And so many people, they talk about that, but really, quite frankly, to truly capture that kind of momentum takes a rare circumstances, and it doesn't happen every day. The fact that you're here with Prepaid Legal is a very, very rare opportunity that we can all take advantage of to position ourselves to truly create momentum. And now, you got to ask yourself, when you're trying to position yourself in front of momentum, one, have you find the right company? Are you doing it the right way? Are you doing the things necessary to create momentum? And are you a part of that? You know, as your company continues to grow, are you reflecting the numbers of the company? Can you proportionally, can you say, you know, if the company is experiencing a 40%, 100% growth over the previous year, can you say that about your business, but maybe on a smaller percentage scale? Can you? Let me restate the question. If the company is experiencing a 50% growth over the previous year, can you experience a 50% growth over the previous year? Okay, I'm glad you got it. Because absolutely can. If the company's experienced a 50% growth, can you personally within your business experience a 100% growth? Yes. Okay, because you're your own boss. And so you can truly create that within your business. So, and then I also want to just mention a little bit about market, because, you know, I've seen lots of markets where they create this momentum, they take off, and it just, you know, it's amazing how things happen. I remember when Hawaii, you know, Hawaii was not even on the map. I mean, you go down to Hawaii and there was nothing. There was not a single business briefing. You'd be lucky if they got together once a week, and if they did, there was probably maybe 4 or 5 associates getting together. Okay, and then a certain gentleman comes in and he starts creating this momentum. He starts teaching the systems that work, the information I'm going to share with you today. He starts teaching this in Hawaii. And the next thing you know, they have business briefings on Oahu with 400 people a week in Hawaii. Every week, 400 people coming to the weekly business briefings. And so I've seen that happen in the marketplaces as well. And it all comes from following these techniques. So I want to talk about 5 categories of creating momentum. Okay, and the first category that I'm going to be going over today is the first company is what you call the bottle rocker. You know, this is the companies that come in and they take off, but they never really go anywhere. And how many of y'all seen a lot of companies like that? You know, a lot of times the startup companies may fall into this category, but you know, some startups may be good. They may have a good product. So I'm not going to put all startups in the company, but there are a lot of companies that they know, you know, the people who put this company together, they know it's not going to last long. And so they get in and they have this big excitement, and they might have this pre-launch phase. Anybody heard of that term? Pre-launch phase, right? And here, you know, this is like the home of network marketing, of almost all network marketing companies right here in Utah. And so you see a lot of that, you know, pre-launch phase. And they know that this business model will not last. They know the compensation won't allow it. All the money's going to funnel up to the top. The top people get rich, and then they're gone. And so, unfortunately, there's some crooked people out there that don't care about robbing people of their money. And so, category one is the bottle rockets. And with the category one, this is where you make big income fast if you get in at the right time. And so, a lot of times, you know, these are, you know, what truly fall into the scams or the pyramids, the Ponzi schemes, you know, and like Ponzi comes around. There's a guy in Italy, and he created this concept, and he says, you know, we're going to get a bunch of people, it's going to take money for them, and then it's going to make you rich, and ends up serving prison time for creating that, and so that's where the word Ponzi comes from. And so these companies are not really, they're not network marketing companies. You know, this is the kind of language that you would hear. You know, here's a couple examples. The magic gas pill. You know, they've been around for over 20 years. How many years of the gas pill? You put it in your car and you get your gas mileage, right? I mean, they've been around and they keep reinventing themselves and they come out with a new name, but it's all the same, and they never last. They never last. They just don't. And so, but it's interesting. The gas pill actually works. It will actually save you money on your gas bill. It's the same kind of ingredients that they put in mothballs. Okay? And so you take the stuff, you put it in your gas tank, you start to get a little bit of good gas mileage, a little bit better, and then about 2 years your piston seizes up and you gotta get a new car. So that you're the travel agents, you know, hey, you know, if you get started with this, you're gonna be able to, you know, travel first class, you're gonna stay at 5-star resorts, you know, they're always gonna bump you up. And you know, those things, again, they're a dime a dozen. They've come around for years and years and years, and they just simply don't last. The airplane game, again, where you just, you know, it's just laundering money among friends. The foreign currency, your currency, you know, again, these are all things that just, they don't last. Now, how many of y'all heard of some of these companies? Okay, anybody? Now, so, like foreign currency, they try to have so much credibility in what they're saying too. And their credibility is not what is Forbes saying, Money Magazine, Wall Street Journal. You know, they're not saying what Wall Street is saying about these companies. Here's their credibility. Their credibility is, hey, listen, I know a banker. And the banker actually used to do all these foreign currency transactions, and they realized one day that they could save the customer a lot of money. So they went with the head bank people, and they said, hey, listen, here's how we can save him a lot of money. They didn't like his idea. He got mad. He quit. So he started his own company. And now he's giving those savings back to you. And so you get 10% on all the transactions that take place. Sounds great. Sounds fancy. It's just not the case. And so, again, those companies never last long term. Here's usually the sales pitch. Okay, the sales pitch is, hey, I want you to come over to my house, bring a lot of cash, but don't bring any reporters or police officers. Okay, that's the kind of sales pitch that you usually hear on these Category 1 companies. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? And so, because, again, they don't last. And what's unfortunate about this is people, it sounds good, they get started, but they don't understand that this is a Category 1 company. It quick cash, but it's not going to last. And the sad part about it is you leave a massive wake of destruction behind you. People go out there and they mortgage, second mortgage their house. They get rid of their kids' education funds because they think they're going to make a quick buck. And most people lose everything. And literally, it's a sad thing to take your friends, family, neighbors, the closest people to you, and destroy their lives over a company like this. But, you know, they're out there, and unfortunately, it's bad. You know, what if you get five robbers? What if five robbers were robbing you, and they all recruited five more robbers to rob you? Well, that's kind of the, you know, Category 1 company. So the next one here is Category 2. This is the old guard company. And this is where, you know, they're billion-dollar companies. We don't want to knock these companies. These are the ones that we stand on their shoulders. They're the ones that created the industry. They hit momentum, massive momentum, and they were able to continue on to momentum as a billion-dollar-plus companies. And, again, we stand on their shoulders. Here's one of the challenges with some of these companies, though, is that the opportunity to really create massive wealth is gone because the exponential times have already been washed up. You know, that train has already left the station. And so, you know, some of those companies, Amway's, again, a multi-billion dollar company, New Scan right here in Provo, Utah, Herbalife. These are some of these billion dollar companies. We don't want to knock these companies, but if you're looking to really position for massive momentum, you want to find a right company at the right time, and we're going to go through these five categories to help people understand that. Again, when you're looking at your industry, your company, your business, or your market, the next category, category three, is your flatliners. And the flatliners are where maybe you got a good company, got good management, and great products, but it never really captures the imagination of the public. And so, you know, why don't they hit momentum? Well, there's probably hundreds of reasons, you know, just thousands of reasons why they don't. I mean, maybe they weren't capitalized much, the products are too expensive, you know, the product doesn't capture the imagination. You know, like for instance, you know, some people come up with just crazy ideas to network, network market. You know, for instance, this table. You know, they say, you know, this table, great table, serves its purpose, probably not the best product to network market. And those companies really, truly never get off the ground. And some of the biggest examples of this are nutritional companies. Nutritional companies that focus on product and all the research that backs it up that makes it so great. You know, and so when you're actually going out there and promoting something, it takes 2 to 3 hour seminars just to train them on the products, all the scientific evidence and everything. The average person just doesn't understand that. And so if the average person doesn't understand it, there's no way you'll be able to create momentum. Does that make sense? Category four is the peddler companies. And this is the retailing companies, buy for a dime, sell for a dollar. So, you know, and the problem with these companies is they focus on the 10%, the 10% of people that like to sell. You know, these are the people that drive around their car all day, and they sit there and they listen to Brian Tracy all day long in their car, and they're like, you know I can't, looking in the mirror, I know I can't, I will, you know. Or they say, you know, oh, I'm so excited to get a no, I get 9 more no's, I know the next one's going to be a yes. You know, and people get excited about that. But how many people actually fit in that category? Less than about 10%. And so the difficult time to create momentum with that kind of company is that they're focusing on the 10%, not the 90%. See, the 90% of those people, they're scared to death of sales. They're deathly afraid of rejection. And so, but where do you want to focus your time? 90% or 10%? The 90%. You definitely want to focus on the 90%. But again, people, they miss the mark, and they start focusing on the 10%. And so some of the examples of these are the party plan companies out there, phone utility services, discount cards, air purifications, insurance, and other plans. And it, depending on how you work your prepaid legal company or business, you could fall into this category. Now, and it's not to say you won't create some, growth. You can create growth within an organization. But trying to capitalize on exponential growth is very difficult if you're only focused on the 10%. So here's the formula. Here's the formula to success. This is how you create massive success. Now, first of all, you've got to have all the proper ingredients, and I'm going to show you that in the category 5. But this is the formula to create it once you have the right company, once you're building it with the right philosophies. And that is you get a large group of people to do simple things consistently over time. That is the formula, where you get a large group of people to do a few things consistently over time. When you can get a bunch of people to do that, it's amazing what can happen. Now, for instance, I have the largest deaf organization in prepaid legal on my team. And there's a gentleman down in Tucson, Arizona. His name is Pablo Felix. And he's the reason why I went Platinum Executive Director. Is because this guy gets started. He was a manager at Walmart. Okay, he was assistant manager at Walmart. And he actually worked in the public. And I was like, gosh, well, how did you work in the public? And so he said he would just write notes to the customers. And that's how he communicated with the public. And so he was he did his job. He did it well. He was well-educated as a deaf person. Most of the deaf are not well-educated. And matter of fact, the average deaf person has about a third grade at reading comprehension. And so, but he was. He was well-educated. The thing that made him so frustrated is that he knew he had all the talent and ability to succeed and go to the top of whatever he wanted to do. But he knew he was stuck at that position at Walmart. There was no way they were going to give him any other higher responsibility in that corporation, and it made him sick. And he was so depressed and had such a difficult time. But he realized, you know what? There's got to be something out there. And there was a person on my team that introduced him to prepaid legal. And for the first time, he realized there was no ceiling on his head. He got started building a business with prepaid legal, and he's on a mission with prepaid legal. He's on a mission to help so many of the deaf people. Now he has over 200 deaf associates on his team. And so out of these 200 deaf associates, none of them are this huge superstar, but he's got a large group of people doing a little bit, marking his memberships, and is now qualified as the first deaf executive director in the history of prepaid legal. So, but he's building it off that formula, getting a large group of people to do simple things consistently over time. And so sometimes people, you know, and that's fine. And with prepaid legal, one thing that makes us so unique, and I'm going to talk about uniqueness in a second, is that we truly have a product that can be sold. But sometimes your strengths can be your weakness. For example, you know, I hear different presentations, you know, just like the first part that I just did. As I travel around and I see these different presenters in prepaid legal, and sometimes people will spend 30 minutes talking about what a wonderful company we have because it is our strengths. And so they go into all the different magazines and what each magazine says and what Wall Street says and all these things. But it's the same thing with the product. The product is so good and brings so much value. But when you're talking about truly creating a Category 5 company, truly creating momentum, it's about the opportunity to make money because people don't want to know necessarily how great the product is. They want to know that it's a valid product, that it's a valuable product, but they want to know, how do I put food on my table for my family? That's what they want to know. Does that make sense? That's what they want to know. And so sometimes your strengths can be a weakness because they can get in your way. And people get distracted with what their strengths are because they're like, oh, listen to this company. Let me tell you all about it. Blah, 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 blah. Let me tell you how great this product is. Blah, 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 blah. And they're like, oh, by the way, you can make a little money if you want to. You know, I mean, so the focus should be on getting a large group of people to do a lot of things simple at a time. And if it's focused on the direct sales side of things, that's fine. You'll make money and you can have growth like this. But creating momentum will be extremely difficult. because you're focusing on the 10%ers. But if you can focus on the 90%ers and capitalize that group of people and also the 10%ers, that's how you can really capitalize on a market and on an industry to help you create massive momentum. So let's talk about Category 5. It's the holy grail of all companies. It's what truly can take you to massive momentum. And here's why. These are the things that you want to have and you want to look for, and we have here with Prepaid Legal. And that is, one, a unique product. You have proper capitalization. Of course, we do, with having a, you know, basically a debt-free company, $60 million in the bank. It's so funny how a lot of these companies, they just have some of the craziest things that they say. You know, like, for instance, the original founders of Microsoft, you know, they left Microsoft because they had a problem with Bill Gates, and now they came over, they started this company, or maybe they're the main investor, and they invested millions of dollars, so we're going to be here for a lifetime, and the next thing you know, they have one financial hiccup in the company, they pull out their money, and the company's bankrupt. Okay, but they say these things, and it sounds good, but the fact is, most of these companies won't make it through the test of time. Certainly, Prepaid Legal has, and we've got the money to prove it. The management depth. The average top management of Prepaid Legal has an average of 20 years experience in building this business. That's unheard of, to be able to have that much. Not in other industries, in Prepaid Legal, in this company. So we have, and then we have a compensation that provokes correct behavior. And what I mean by that is that if you're going to teach these people the simple disciplines compounded over time, then you've got to be able to also drive in depth with those organizations. And so some of the compensations and organizations out there, they just go, you know, straight across front line, and then what happens is you've got 50 people, 100 people front line. Who do those people report to? You. They report to you. If you have a full-time job working 40 hours a week, how much time do you have to actually support them? You won't create a momentum that way, I promise you. And so you want a compensation that allows you to drive in depth. And that's what Prepaid Legal allows us to do, especially now with the new leadership bonuses that they just came out with. And so, you know, as a platinum now, the company pays me, they paid me executive director leadership bonuses, as a gold executive director and as anything above executive director. But now as a platinum, on top of all that money, they pay me an extra $100 for every $249 associate that qualifies and gets their first advancement on the whole entire organization. And we did a little over 300 associates last month. That's a little nice little bonus, right? I mean, not bad, okay? And so, but that's the extra money that Prepaid Legal pays. So does that reward, do I want to get in the trenches to go help that team advance? You bet I do. And so that is the compensation plan that rewards and provokes correct behavior. The field leadership, folks, we couldn't have better field leadership of all the companies that I've seen out there in the industry. Prepaid Legal has some of the best trainers, some of the best speakers right here within the company. I mean, your leadership right here in Salt Lake City is some of the best leadership I've ever seen. They understand, absolutely. They understand. Give them a hand. And, you know, they understand what it takes to create the Category 5 company. You know, because they understand the simple disciplines. And these disciplines are not new. It's the same thing that Jeff Olson teaches in the 3 CDs in the back of this room. How many of you have a copy of the 3 CDs and actually listen to it? Okay? Now, how many agree? He lays it out. He shows you exactly how you get a large group of people to do simple things consistently over time. You know, like Ryan Burns here, sitting on the front row. I remember, you know, so many times people have asked Ryan Burns, so what exactly are you doing? What are you doing? You know, people ask you all the time, right? And I remember it was so funny because, you know, we went on an executive director cruise, and so we're all sitting in a hot tub, and so many of the executive directors are going up to Ryan and say, all right, listen, man, what's the secret sauce, man? Tell me the cookie cutter. What are you doing? I want to have that kind of success. You're just exploding. This is amazing. And his response is, well, I make 2 exposures a day. I attend a weekly meeting, a weekly training, and we do PBRs. Well, no. I mean, really. There's something that you're doing, you know. You don't have that kind of success Tell me, seriously, listen, dude, we're both executive directors here. You know, we've been in the game for a while. Be a straight shooter for me. All right. I expose 2 people a day. I attend a weekly meeting and a weekly training. And he keeps it simple. And so he says, so what is your team doing? I mean, sure, your team's got to be doing something different, right? I mean, well, the team exposes 2 people a day, attend a weekly meeting, and a weekly briefing. See, he understands the system. He doesn't complicate the system. And that's the reason why he's created the momentum and the exponential growth that many people in this company are not experiencing. And it's because he keeps it simple. Does that make sense? It's focused on the 90%ers. And when you're focused on that large group of business, it's not hard to truly create that kind of momentum. So I want to show you guys something. First of all, you got to have a unique product. Okay? It's got to be unique. It's got to be exclusive, highly consumable. It's got something that they can continue to use on it, you know, that they want to keep. And so, you know, sometimes the technical products out there are difficult because the technical products in the technical industry, I have a friend that was getting into selling, you know, satellites and services and security and things like that. And what's difficult about the technical industry is, does technology change? And when does it change? When it changes, is there a new training process that has to go on with that in the organization? So literally, it's like starting all over again. And so, like, for instance, guy says, well, there's this new phone, okay? And it's a phone, it has a camera on it. And so this is our new product, and we sell it for $500, and it allows you to be able to talk to your friends and family anywhere in the world and actually see them. And that sounds great. Sounds like a Macintosh. But so he's trying to get me to buy this phone, and I'm thinking, I've got a Macintosh. Anytime I travel, I can talk to my kids anytime. I can see them, and we have a great conversation. It's TV quality. It's awesome. Oh, well, okay. And so they just came out with this product. Here's the difficult thing about this product, is that I have an iPhone. It is not too far away that they're just going to simply take this camera on the back and put it on the front so that you can actually see the person you're talking to and they can see you. And it's in your pocket. Folks, when that comes out, what happened to that little phone gadget they have? Gone. And then they're going to have to reinvent themselves again. And see, with Prepaid Legal, we have truly a unique product that has already stood the time of 3 decades and will continue to do that and becomes a more and higher demand the longer that we're in business. And some people say, well, I don't know if people actually keep this service. You know, and so I've got a slide up here. Oh, it's going to come up after I bring up this other stuff, so I'll bring it back here in a second. But it's got to be a simple 30-second. You got to be able to say what it is that you do and have people just get the concept. We do for attorney bills what we do for attorney and legal bills what your health insurance does for doctor and hospital bills. How many of you guys just got that? Does that just make sense? Rather than a big hourly fee, we do that for a small monthly fee. How many of y'all get that? Okay? And so some people, if they come out with this type of language where they, you know, they think, oh yeah, it's just got to be simple. For example, we have this suspension gel technology that allows 1,000 pounds of pressure to make it more assumable to be able to help you live a more healthy life. Did that make any sense to you guys? But see, there's companies out there, they have to teach these things, and it makes it difficult to truly teach that and have people get it. So you have to have a simple commercial, not a 10-page lab report that explains it. Does that make sense? Okay, another one is proper capitalization. There's a lot of companies that they don't grow fast enough, or they grow too slow, or they make too much money. If the company is too profitable, they have growing pains, they can't help it, that can knock people out of business. And of course, I've talked about the proper compensation plan. Let me show you guys this. I pulled this off my reports. This is my retention on my memberships that I personally wrote and that the team personally wrote 6 years ago. And you can see there, 59, and 58% from 6 years ago. That's how many people still have their membership from 6 years ago, folks. That's residual income. If you truly have a product that is unique, you're going to have those kind of numbers. But most companies, they don't have unique products. And they keep it You know, they have a $200 auto ship and they use it for a few months. They feel like, you know, they find out that the juice tastes like crap and they end up canceling their auto ship. Okay? And so it's very difficult to truly create residual. How many agree you can create some pretty nice residual with that kind of retention? Okay? And that's the reason why mine is around $3,000 to $5,000 a week in residual income. You gotta have a system. I talked about that in the last presentation I did. You gotta have a system that supports that kind of infrastructure. And so, you know, and here in Prepaid Legal, we have a system. You know, you, for instance, you look at, we've got business briefings all across the United States where you can simply just plug people into it. Holland Stonecipher, the CEO of this company, has the golden rule. You know, and that is to do unto others as you would have them do unto you, right? Or something like that. Okay, the golden rule. Well, that is how we work, and that is our MO, our method of operation here in Prepaid Legal. So if you send somebody to another business briefing and they try and recruit them, those people can be terminated for that kind of behavior. See, we've got a system that where everybody follows the golden rule. And so you can literally plug somebody into a system, into a business briefing, 1,000 miles away and know that they'll be taken care of and have a system to support their success. There's business briefings all over. There's core trainings all over the place. You guys have one of the best core trainings right here in the state of Utah to teach you how to really grow the big business. Right here in Salt Lake, right on Wednesdays. Okay? And so, but sometimes, but you know, what's interesting is that, you know, core trainings, there was a debate several months ago, maybe a year ago, where they were like, you know, how do you really get a core training to be successful? You know, and I'm going to tell you a few things that makes things, a core training successful. And that is, you have to have proven leadership that can get up and inspire a crowd to sell the dream every single week. And some people tried to create that, but they didn't know how to inspire a gnat. And they wonder why they aren't able to grow their trainings. And so, you know, think about this. Every week, people go out there and they get beat up and slammed up and their friends tell them no. And, you know, and it's tough out there. And so it's nice to be able to come back to a safe haven where people will support you in your dream. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? You guys have that right here, and it's one of the best trainings I've ever seen. So give your leadership a hand, folks. So, you know, when you have an infrastructure and a system like that, anyone can succeed. How does Pablo Felix, being completely deaf, how does a deaf associate allow him to be able to have success? I'll show you exactly how it works. They have somebody watch a DVD. It's closed caption. And so they check out the DVD, and then, does that sound interesting? Yeah, it does. Great. Why don't you come to a business briefing? And the reason why he's able to have success is because there's lots of deaf people that got started in Prepaid Legal, but they didn't have this. His wife is a certified interpreter. So she decides to come to the briefing with him to interpret so they can check out this Prepaid Legal thing. So he comes to the business briefing, she interprets for him, and he says, this is absolutely amazing, there's no ceiling here, I'm going to get started. And he starts to have amazing success and starts to grow his business. So then what does he do? He goes to the training. He gets taught, and then he goes out there and repeats that cycle. He shows people a DVD. Hey, you want to know more? Comes to the business briefing. Hey, you like it? You want to sign up? Great, let's get you trained. And they repeat that process. That is a system how even someone who's deaf, who is completely deaf, not hearing impaired, deaf, can't hear anything, can't read lips. You can only read lips if you're hearing impaired and you can hear a little bit. If you really can't hear at all, it's guesswork. Folks, how does someone like that have that kind of success and go to the top and hit executive director, have time and financial freedom, walk away from his job, and eventually going to be able to walk away, have his wife walk away from interpreting? It's because he is plugged into a system that allows anyone to succeed. That's when you know you can have large success and create momentum. So, infrastructure, you've got to have the proper infrastructure. It's third-party tools, folks. We have some of the best third-party marketing tools I've ever seen in the direct sales industry. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. I mean, the DVDs, it's definitely our message that we have is incredible, but the way we present it needs to be professional, true? And if we can present it in a professional manner and have people see that, they're going to take advantage of it, and we have some of the best tools out there, hands down. And, of course, the training, we talked about that. We have the weekly trainings. You also have the conference calls. that are going on a weekly basis, and you got the national events. All right, so I want to switch gears now, and I want to talk about culture. Creating culture. Is this mine? Or is that yours? Okay, there you go. Yeah, that picture actually looks like I have a tan. Don't look so pasty. Okay, creating culture. What is culture? The definition of a culture, I think, what's that? My third kid? Oh, yeah, that's an old picture. The third kid is right there. Right there in her little belly. So, yeah, she's almost three now. Culture. I think the best definition of culture is creating a safe, professional environment that people not only want to be a part of, but take pride in taking part of. I'll repeat that for those of you taking notes. Creating culture is creating a professional environment that people not only want to be a part of, but take pride in being part of. Creating a culture is something that you should do in all of your events. It should be in all of the things that you do in building your team. And there's a lot of things that you can do to help create that culture. I want to start off by talking about creating the culture within events. Now, when you talk about different events, there's different ways to expose people in prepaid legal. There's high touch, high bond, and let me bring this up here. So you have low bond, high tech, and then up here you have high touch. Down here you have high bond, high impact. And so what we want to do is we want to take people through this process. And most people, they may start with like an online presentation, recorded calls, you know, a webcast. But is there very much touch involved in that? There's not a lot of touch. It's very high tech. And so the culture is not created at that point. And sometimes people think, you know, oh, I'm going to get started in this one business because you don't have to go to those meetings. You know, name me one company that has gone to the top, that has been very, very successful, that didn't have meetings. See, I like to follow a really good example, a guy named Jesus. And so he taught a simple example. And that was, you expose people to the gospel, and you come together once a week. So even he had weekly meetings. And so they've been doing that for a long time. I don't want to reinvent the wheel. You know what I'm saying? And so, but yet, you know, you have these events. All this is simply just piquing the interest. It just, you know, just to find out a little bit more about what it is that you do. And then eventually you want to take them to the process. And then you do a three-way phone call. You're bridging in now someone else into that to where they realize, okay, now there's two people involved in this deal. I'm not the only one getting suckered into it, right? And so, but then you go to a one-on-one where it becomes now a personal relationship, where then you do two-on-one again so they have a face that they can see two people. You know, and you see that, you know, in every court of law, is two witnesses going to always be that one? It's always going to be that one in a court of law. But then, this is where the barrier that really starts to change it and where those relationships are made, and that's the private business receptions and the weekly business briefings. That's where you start to really build that relationship. But then you go through the game plan, and you start to help them dream again. You know, I love what Deanne Foster said, how she, you know, she was able to dust off her dreams that she had tucked away. Because unfortunately, a lot of people have done that. True? A lot of people have tucked away those dreams. And so you can go through a game plan and help them start to dream again. Find out what their whys are and show them a path and a plan to be able to have greater success. And then you've got your trainings that you can get them plugged into, your Super Saturdays. And imagine, how many of y'all agree, how many of y'all, this is their first time at a Super Saturday, at a monthly Super Saturday? Okay, raise your hand. Give them a hand, folks. Now, Terry, this is your first time, right? Okay, so what were you exposed to, and how did you get introduced to prepaid legal? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you started looking into it? What third-party tool did you see? Okay. DVD? Was it a DVD or tape?
Well, it's a
Okay. So his first exposure was a through a phone call. What was it that actually helped you decide, all right, I'm going to sign up? Was the phone call enough to get you to sign up, or was there more? Okay, and what did you do to get the information? Okay, private investigator for 10 years. And then, did you ever go to a live event? Like a business briefing, a weekly business briefing? Okay. And where did you do your paperwork? Okay. So he saw enough to come to the business briefing, and that was enough to help put him on the edge and say, you know what, this is a real deal, I'm going to sign up. Now he did his investigation, obviously, and then what happened? Now you're here, but let me ask you this. This is the first time to come to a Super Saturday. When you see all the success stories, all the people having success in this room, you're hearing the stories, the motivation, the training to help you understand the bigger picture of what you can do with business. Have your belief gone up a little bit more since that business briefing? Okay? Folks, that is what we want to do, is we want to continue to take people through that process. So you get people the game plan, you get them to, you know, the trainings, you get, I got game plan in here twice. And then you reach, what's that? Three times. Okay, good. So yeah, you want to just keep having those game plans. But you got the regional events, and that's really what a Super Saturday is. And that just builds your belief even more. And then you've got the corporate events, folks. And the corporate event is where you're there with 15,000 jazzed out of their mind, excited, prepaid legal associates. And Dan Foster also said that, you know, she didn't want to go, you know, where people say, I don't want to go to those rah-rah meetings and things like that. And unfortunately, a lot of those companies are simply just rah-rah. As I said earlier, they have a bunch of sizzle, but no steak. And so, but here in prepaid legal, we got both. We got a lot of sizzle. And why do we have sizzle? Because we got a lot of steak. If you got a lot of steak, you got something to be excited about, because now you can dream again. You know, when you go to your job, and you're like, you know, you talk to somebody, you know, you walk by them and say, hey, Joe, how you doing? Another day, another dollar. Am I making that up? Okay, but here in prepaid legal, you know, you walk up to Mr. Hall and you say, Mr. Hall, how you doing? What you saying? Incredible, but getting better. Okay? I mean, you hear things like that where, you know, people are excited about life because they have dreams again. They know that they can accomplish something. They have a brighter future. But when you can take people on this journey, it creates a much more higher impact. But the biggest thing you can do, according to Jeff Olson, and all this comes from Jeff Olson. I don't know where the three game plans came from. That didn't. But Jeff Olson is the one that taught this. And he says, you know, the biggest thing you can do to create high impact, high touch, is the team event. It's the team event. Because there you have people that are financially invested in your success. I had a guy calls me up all the time from Southern California. He was like, you know, I just can't find anybody to do three-way calls for me. Nobody takes my call. And I was just like, well, you know, if you got to know the team a little bit, you'd have lots of people do three-way phone calls. But you've never been to a team event in 4 years. You know, and so if he goes to these team events, you get to become family with those people. It's not like you're in a big auditorium with 15,000 people in the room where you can't even find your team. You're there with just your team. And there's so much bonding that takes place there where you're up late at nights and the culture is truly being created there that locks people in the business. That's what truly glues people to where they don't want to go anywhere else. Because this business is easy to get into. It's easy. $249, you're in business. And it's super easy to get out of. You quit. You don't show up. But I'll tell you what's hard to quit is to, we'll take questions afterwards. So hard to quit is on your friends. Once you develop such friends and relationships and you've got that culture going on within the marketplace, within the business, you know, you start to see that those people aren't going anywhere because they wouldn't want to be anywhere else. There was a guy when we first started our business briefing down in Fort Worth, Texas, when we were brand new. We used to measure the success of our events by two things. What is the guest to associate ratio? Okay, so we'd say how many guests were in the room compared to how many associates. The higher the guest, the bigger you know you're about to explode. I mean, if you've got 40, 50% guests in that room, that marketplace is exploding, and if it is about to explode if it's not already. And so, but another thing that we used to measure the growth of it is how many hugs are in the room. So when you walk in, you know, are people hugging? Are they family? Have they become family? You know, how few clicks are there that are going on in the room? And see, naturally, when people walk into the room, they want to come in and they want to migrate where they feel comfortable. That's natural, right? But you've got to be unnatural to really create that culture in a marketplace so that all people feel included. For example, you know, I have a boss, and it's so funny because we used to always get together at this restaurant we worked at. Me, Mike, and Chris, my brothers, we all worked at this barbecue restaurant. And so we all mingle together, and we're all hanging out, you know, in the room, break room or something, when we're on the clock. And the owner and the boss man would walk back there. He was like, hey, you got me to split up. Somebody drops a bomb right here, I lose all my help. But sometimes in a business briefing, that happens where people just want to migrate, and then you've got people that are sitting in their chair, and they're sitting down, and they're just thinking, all right, when this event is starting, I can kick this thing off. You know what I'm saying? Let me show you another thing that happens in marketplaces that I see. For example, I've seen like big circle ups and things like that, and circle ups are great. You want to circle up. But big circle ups, there's a challenge with that. It's because it becomes people-dependent, not system-dependent. Okay, people-dependent is where you get a big circle up, you have one massive, you know, one really good closer that comes in there, and they make this big old circle in there, and then the closer gets in the middle. And I saw this down in California. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. This guy would get down there, and he would just have his hands up like this. Buzz, I'm telling you, you got to get started. And he looks at this guy, and he says, you know what? I mean, you're going to sign up for the membership, right? I mean, you spend over $1 a day anyways, right? And the kid goes, no, I know. He was like, yeah, you do. You bought a bottle of water, right? You probably bought a bottle of water today, right? And he was like, no. Well, that's because you're broke. And everybody's watching this guy because he's so loud and so obnoxious. But here's what happened. Some of these people actually started to have success, even though he was as bad as he was. And then one of the guys that was sitting there, he always waited for that closer to come in and close all his people. And one day, he wasn't at the business briefing. So he comes up to me, and he was like, oh my gosh, he was like, so-and-so's not here. I don't know how to close up my guests. Will you help me do that? I'm like, you do it. It's not that hard. It's three questions. Hey, you see an opportunity for self? You prepared to get started? Or, hey, would you like best? You see an opportunity for self? You prepared to get started? Simple. Three simple questions. He was a manager in the business, and he couldn't ask those three simple questions. That's because he was people-dependent, not system-dependent. Does that make sense? But here's the challenge with some of these big circles. I was down in Los Angeles. I usually don't go out to Los Angeles. This is when I was living in California. And I only went out there because I had a really good friend that was signing up in the business. And so we're sitting down together, and we're sitting down in this room, and we're looking around after the presentation's over. They all start, and it was very team-centric. It was like one predominant team. And so we were the outsiders. And so they said, this guy comes up to me, and he says, he goes, hey, excuse me, could you guys get out of the chair and kind of move over there? We're trying to make a circle. Can you move over there? Yeah, great. And they make this big old massive circle. How would your guest feel if they were in that environment? Okay? They're not going to want to stay long. And if they do stay long, they're going to be thinking, who are you? This big team over here, I need to be with them. They're the ones having all the success because all they know is what they see. You know what I'm saying? So these are things in a marketplace that should not go on. Unfortunately, sometimes they do, but they shouldn't go on. Creating culture within a marketplace is really locks people in when there's a lot of love in the room, everyone's treated the same, when instead of congregating together, you go out and meet people. And some people will say, well, I don't really know what to talk about. I'm going to tell you four simple things to talk about. It's an acronym form: family, occupation, recreation, and money, or motivation. You know, and some people say, well, I'm shy, I don't really know what to say. Talk about their family, their occupation, recreation, and money. It'll start a conversation for half an hour. Just talking about those things. Does that make sense? But see, if you go around and you start telling people, you know, hey, listen, let's break up these cliques, go around and meet everybody. And so when you've got a guest was sitting down in the room wondering, when is this meeting going to get started, you know, and feeling really uncomfortable. And somebody walks up and says, hey, how are you? Nice to see you. Where are you from? Oh, really? So do you have family here in this area? How long have you lived here? And you start a conversation. Oh, really? That's your background? How long have you been doing that line of work? Really? Hey, listen, come here. I want to introduce you to something. And you get them out of their chair. Get them out of their chair and go introduce them to someone else. And then you say, you know what? Hey, you guys get to know each other. You got similar backgrounds. And then you go meet somebody else. And so anyways, this is a culture we started creating at the events that we used to do when we started in Fort Worth, Texas. Now, I'll tell you, there was an old man who used to come every single day. He never brought a guest for well over a year. Never brought a guest. I never saw him out with a guest. And so one day I asked him, I said, you know what? I've noticed that you don't really have a lot of guests here, but you're here every week. And he says, I wouldn't want to be any other place. See, that's when you know that you've created culture. You know, when you create a professional environment that not only do they want to be there, they want to take pride in being there. And so that's the kind of events that we want to do because that's the bond that keeps people in the business. So we talked about what culture is. Another thing that creates culture is promotion and recognition. You know, you want to have the spring, summer, fall, winter promotion. You want to be doing these things. See, Prepaid Legal, they throw in the big promotions. You know, they have the incentive trips and they'll do different promotions during spring, summer, fall. But you need to be doing things with your own team. Little things. Not that cost a lot of money. Maybe it's just your time. Hey, listen, you know, if you do XYZ, then I'm going to spend the next week working directly just with you. You know, or you say, hey, listen, I'm going to put a goal out there. The person who does this gets my next associate. I'm going to place them on your team. You know, so there's little things that you do that doesn't cost you any money. It may cost you time, or it may cost you, you know, you may just place them on their associate to reward them for doing the proper activity. So promotions are huge. And recognition, you can't do enough of it. You know, the book, Thinking Real Rich, I believe it is, either that or How to Win Friends. But, you know, you want to be very short on your, criticizing somebody, but you want to be lavish in your praise. You know, you want to be able to talk about, you know, all the great things, what they were able to do, because people, whether they admit it or not, they strive for the recognition. I remember I saw all these people walking the stage as the Super Saturday. Some of them, it's their first month being recognized for advancements. When I got started in Prepaid Legal, money was foreign to me. As I mentioned, I was broke. So I didn't understand the concept of money, but I understood what it took to be recognized. And I was so excited to walk that stage as a brand new manager and be recognized in front of all the people in North Texas. And I'm sure that's many of you, brand new in this room, being recognized, you know, for those advancements. So recognition is huge. You can't do enough of it. Inclusion, exclusion is another thing that's so important. You know, and I think, you know, when I used to live up here in Utah, and me and Dave Hall would organize Players Club events where he would rent an Escalade stretch limo, and anyone who qualified for Players Club could go in the stretch limo on a night in the town with all the leaders and all the other Players Club people. And I'm telling you, people would fight for that. I remember when I was doing a Super Saturday down in Tucson, Arizona with Pablo Felix, the Deaf Associate. And they had a special closed-door director and above meeting that was this big deal where Mr. Stonecipher was going to be there, and they were going to have this special time with Mr. Stonecipher. And so he did everything in his power to make director by that Super Saturday, and he qualified 2 hours before the event started. 2 hours. He wasn't about to give up. But it was that inclusion-exclusion. He knew he was going to be excluded if he didn't do what was necessary to be included in that crowd. Does that make sense? Huge thing to help build that culture and to get the proper production. You want to have team get-togethers. You want to be able to get together with those team and have parties and socials. And I think it's one of the most amazing things, one of the reasons why Salt Lake and Utah is having such incredible growth is because Mr. Hall understands how to create culture. He understands how putting together these social events, like he did in his neighborhood last night. I mean, that was amazing. I had a wonderful time. How about you guys, for those of you there? And so, but you know, when you have those social events and you can bring the kids and the family gets to meet each other and my kids meet your kids and, You know, and that just locks people in the business. Again, culture is everything. But you don't want to wait around for it. You want to be able to do it yourself. And, for example, you know, promotion is another thing. It's one of the key skills that you've really got to master in this business. The art of promotion. What do I mean by that? Well, promote to see a CD. Promote to get to an event. Promote to get on a conference call. Some people, they only promote when they're actually trying to get people recruited, and then they forget to promote. And so they get them in the business, they're promoting to watch the tool, they're promoting to get on this website, they're promoting to go do all of these things, but once they actually get them in the business, now they stop promoting to get them to the event, to get them to the conference calls, the team conference calls. And let me tell you what, you don't stop promoting until they become an executive director with multiple executive directors underneath them. Because until they're making big money in this business, they're that close to falling out of the business. So you don't stop recruiting until you have created that kind of leadership and depth and leadership down in that organization. So there was a guy down at the business briefing that I did on Thursday when I was in town for the one day. The one day I was there, I did a business briefing. It's interesting how some people would just took the day off, but I understand how important it is to be there, so I went. And, I was also presenting, but that I still would have been there. But anyways, this guy walks up to me, and we've got Platinum Executive Director Mr. Craig Heppner is going to be flying in to do a presentation. He does an amazing job. I don't know if you guys had him up here recently, but just an incredible speaker, smooth, polished, amazing guy, and he's coming up. So this guy comes up, and he's on Craig Heppner's team, and he has these flyers. He goes, "Hey, will you promote this?" And I just talked about how important it is to creating culture and promoting in their business. And so I was like, "You want me to promote it, or are you going to promote it?" He goes, "I got it, okay." And so he goes around, and he starts telling everybody, "Do you know about this? Do you know about this? Yeah, Mr. Craig Heppner, he's going to be here, blah, blah, blah." So he actually starts promoting, instead of just waiting for someone else to do it for him. I'm telling you, when you take action to do these kind of things for yourself, not letting somebody else, not waiting for Dave Hall to create that culture, you create that culture, your business will start to change. I want to change, and I want to share a couple other things on leadership with you. I think leadership, there's two definitions I think are great, and Jeff Olson's has one of those definitions. Getting people to do what they ordinarily wouldn't have done had you not have been involved in the process. You know, leadership, when you walk in and you're going a certain direction and you turn around and no one's following you, you might want to evaluate your leadership skills. But if you turn around and there's an army of people behind you, then you know you're doing a good job of leadership. I think John Maxwell says it really well too. He says leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. It's just simply influence. It's making a difference in someone's life. And then a lot of times people don't have necessarily leadership skills, but you can develop those leadership skills. I think some of the best books ever written are all the books that Mr. John Maxwell has written, because he always writes on leadership skills. So I'm going to talk about a couple other things. Leadership, leaders always lead by example, true? I would rather watch somebody do it than just tell me any day of the week. And so, and how do you, when you're building this team, one thing is getting plugged into everything. When I got started as a brand new associate, we lived in Fort Worth, Texas, and we used to drive down to Dallas, Texas to go down to all the events. There was nothing going on in Fort Worth, Texas. So we literally would drive in traffic about an hour and a half on a weekday on Thursdays to go to our business briefings. On the Super Saturdays, most of our team didn't want to get up on Saturday morning on their day off to go to a Super Saturday to learn from a millionaire. But we did. And so we went. Me and my brothers would go there. We would get this amazing information. We'd take copious notes. And what would we do? We would bring it back to our team and teach our team, because they weren't willing to go get it for themselves. Because if you don't bring it back, where are they going to get the information? Where? They're just not. Okay? So we bring it back. And it was so funny. Here we are, brand new in the business. We've been to a few Super Saturdays, and we start teaching our teams. We would get them together, and we talk about some of the things that we learned. And so quickly, our team would look at us and think, "Gosh, you guys are so brilliant. You guys just know so much stuff. How do you know this stuff?" The reason why is because we sought out to go get it, and we brought it back, and they weren't willing to do that. But what's interesting, when you seek out that information, like Mr. Hall said earlier, we would drive to states. They would pack up buses to go to Southern California in the new stages of building this Utah, pack up buses to go to Southern California and be trained by the best and bring that information back. You know, sometimes you got to go out there and seek that information. But when you do and you come back, everybody thinks you're a genius and how you just magically know this stuff. It's because they went out. But it brings value to your team. And that's really what you want to do is go seek out everything. Never miss anything. Get plugged in as much as you can, and then you bring value back to your team. Servant leadership. There's so many amazing servants. Leaders in this room that don't get paid a penny to do the things they do, to set up all this equipment, to make sure that this event is first class. None of those people are paid to do that. They just simply show up because they're a servant leader. Some people say, well, how do you get to platinum? Well, you move a lot of chairs. What do I mean by that? You show up early and you set up a lot of chairs. You know, and so as a servant leader, I'll tell you, I have moved thousands and thousands and thousands of chairs in the 9 years I've been with this business. But that's because as a servant leader, and I'll tell you what though, there are blessings that come from a servant leader. For instance, my brother Mike, he started a whole new marketplace in northern San Diego. It was completely new, started a new business briefing, started building that. He was a servant leader. A lot of the people there that were not even on his team, but he just gave back and he just showed them because he's had success and he wanted to teach them how to have success. And then a guy ends up showing up and he says, hey, you're the servant leader here. He could tell he was a servant leader. He was just like, I'm interested in prepaid legal. I've been studying prepaid legal for the last 4 years and I'm ready to sign up. I've been looking for a good upline that I know is somebody who can provide good leadership but yet has the drive to continue to teach me how to make this business work, and I know you got it. But see, if he wasn't a servant leader, he would have never got that guy. He would have never got him. So a servant leader just brings so many blessings. A great leader is a great follower. You decide to be humble, coachable, and take immediate actions to take sound advice. So many times when people will give good advice, but they don't really take action. You know, I'm not going to necessarily, I've mentioned a couple books, but I'm not, necessarily saying, hey, this is a great book, you got to go out and get this book. And some people write it in their notes, but they never take action on it. And that book may be the one book that will change your life. And so, moving on, casting the vision. You know, again, it's building for events, promoting, I talked about that. You know, Mr. Hall, putting those 8 passionate vans together, driving down to Southern California to learn that information. But selling the dream, inspiration, enthusiasm are also key ingredients of a great leader. Because that is something, any time that you get in front of your group, you're always selling the dream. Always selling the dream. Because they're getting beat up, they're having their doubts, and you need to be there for them to help them understand that. And sometimes you may have some difficult times in your business, but crap doesn't go down, it goes up. Bad news always goes up, not down, to your team. And sometimes you've got to be careful about how transparent you are with your team. For example, when I was down in California, I was a new executive director. Things happened in my business where I actually missed executive director, lost the qualification, didn't have my 75 memberships, dropped down to a director. Back then, it was not a good place to be. And so me and your brother Chris were going through some challenging times being able to try and get this business going. But we were being recognized as bronze executive director. But we weren't bronzes. We were directors. And I'll tell you, that's tough because you're trying to live up to a certain expectation, but you ain't that person. And that's mentally, it plays a game on you, I think. And so, but our team thought, hey, these are the guys, they're doing the deal, they're having so much success. When they didn't know that, we just got a notice on our door that says, 3 days or quit, get out of this apartment. They didn't realize and know that my brother Chris came in and parked my car in the stall. And my wife went out to do groceries, go get some groceries, and the car wasn't there anymore because the repo man came. Sometimes you need to be a little not be so transparent with your team because that can crush them in those earlier stage. Sometimes you need to get out of the way in prepaid legal so they can truly see this opportunity for what it is and not judge this opportunity based on your success or lack of success, I should say. Does that make sense? Okay, so So he's selling the dream, always. I was talking to Jeff Olson. We had a special executive drink event many years ago. Mr. Hall was there with me, and down in the Gaylord Resort in Fort Worth, Texas, Grapevine, Texas. And he was only talking to executive directors. And so I'm thinking, oh, this is a special leadership meeting. This is great. You know, he's going to tell us the real deal as leaders. How do you really create three different companies and have $1 billion in each one of those companies with three different products, create hundreds of millionaires? This is it. This is where he's really going to tell us stuff. And you know what he said? Expose two people a day. Same deal. And I'm thinking, oh, come on, man, tell me something new. But here's something he said. Always sell the dream. Always sell the dream. Because people get beat up so bad, and you've got to know that there's a better life on the other side. There's a better life. So, protect the team. You want to, Jim Rohn always says this, nurture like a mother, protect like a father. Nurture like a mother. What does that mean? Well, that's the culture. That's the love, the aspect. That's putting on the fun things with the team. That's bringing them together. That's having the team parties. You want to nurture them. When they have a bad time, you want to be there to console them. You want to give them pep talks. You want to make them feel better, that they can do it, that they have build more belief in them than they have in themselves. That's nurture like a mother. Protect like a father. What does that mean? There's going to be so many things that will enter in your business that will literally cripple an organization. And I've had things come into my business that were just cancer. And it really would affect your business. And you want to protect that business. You want to make sure that bad teachings don't get into your business. You want to make sure that there's no snakes in your grass. You want to make sure that people are performing ethically, that they were following company standards, you know, so that your business does not get affected. You want to protect it like a father. Okay, accountability. You got to inspect what you expect. So many times people just want to throw a business together and they just think it's going to take off and go straight to the top. The more accountability you have, the more production that that organization is going to have. And so really you want to inspect that. Inspect what you want. Core conference calls. This is where you can get together with your team. There's a great service out there called thebasementventures.com. It's free. It's a free conference calling software or online software that you can set up your own account, thebasementventures.com. And you can go there and you can set up this conference call for free and host your own team core accountability calls. So you can get on there and be a leader and step up and say, hey guys, how'd your day go? How'd your day go? And talk about those things on a regular basis. Okay, communication. Communication is one of the biggest things also to create culture within that organization. Constant contact with email. Some people think, you know what, I'm going to communicate by email, and that's how they communicate to their team, and they have five people on your team. Okay? If your team is less than 30 active people on your team, it should be a personal phone call. Y'all know what I'm saying? Okay? A personal phone call, that's going to get you the results that you're looking for. When you just send out an email to all five people on your team about a conference call that they need to be getting on, they're probably not going to get on. But if you call them up and say, hey, there's going to be an amazing call. Again, the art of promotion. There's going to be an amazing call. They're going to be talking about this and that. We're going to hear from this speaker, and they have such an amazing story. You know, you're not going to want to miss call. You're going to be there, right? Okay? And they're, I was going to fix the screen door, but yeah, I'll be there. Okay? So, phone calls. Again, but you don't want to be their boss. Okay? People didn't get in this business to have a boss. They got in this business not to have a boss. So you want to be careful about your communication there. Personal development. Attitude is everything, folks. People that either come in a room and they lighten a room or they darken a room. And I love the people watch. Anybody like the people watch? Okay. When I was in college, I went to Utah Valley State College, or UVU now, I guess it is. And they had this row of tables in the hall there. And I used to sit there for hours and just watch people walk by. I loved it. And I remember as I get to travel and I was watching. I was down in Ontario at the airport, Ontario, California, and. And this lady walked in the room, and she was one of those people, she brightened the room. I mean, she walked in, it was an older lady, I won't say her age since I said older, but anyways, she walks into this room, and she just has this smile, and she's just looking at everybody, and there's this long line, and she's standing in the line, and most people are like, oh, why is this taking so long? And she was just there, and she's just looking at all the little children and smiling at them, and I thought, wow, she just makes a difference just being here. And there's always this type, two types of people, either the light in the room or the dark in the room. And you got to ask yourself, which one are you? Let me mention something about attitude. There's a guy I work with pretty closely, and he was complaining about his business. Another leader had called him up and said, "Hey, how's business going?" And he'd gone through some difficult times in his business. And so she was trying to give him a little pep talk. She goes, "So how's business going?" And all he could focus on was the negative stuff in his business. And you know what's crazy? Is that month he had two brand new associates hit Director 25 their very first month. But all he could focus on was the negative. I'm telling you, folks, it's easy to focus on the negative, but there's always something positive you can find. Always something positive. And that's what you always need to focus on, especially when you've got a team, because the team is looking at you. They're watching your every single move. So, where am I at? Also on personal development, be a good finder, not a fault finder. What you focus on will expand. And I love this quote at the bottom. "One of the sanest, surest, most generous joys of life comes from being happy over the good fortune of others." How often do we see somebody's success? For instance, there was a guy that lives here in Utah and was just so mad about Ryan Burns' success. Literally, was mad. "I've been in this business for so many years and he's just got that special thing. I'm not like him." And I said, "Well, what about April Cook?" "Well, April, they're the same way." And now, I can say this because he's not here, but he used that as an excuse why to quit instead of celebrating their success. Isn't that what he should be doing? I mean, that should be an inspiration that somebody can come in this business, because you know what? Ryan, who recruited you? Bren, right? Where's Bren? Bren, you recruited him. Now you have a massive organization. Did you ever say, "Dang it, Ryan passed me up and cut me out of overrides"? You know? But no, you celebrate that success, because I pray for someone to pass me up every night. I'm always looking for someone to pass me up. Yeah, Dave Hall was the first, and I'm looking for another. Please pass me up, you know? Because, you know, really, you want that. It only takes three people to pass you up, and they'll take you to a six-figure income in this company. Three. That's it. So some people say, "Oh, they passed me up and cut me out of overrides." It's only temporary. Just go to work. Keep building. You'll be able to maximize those overrides. Okay. Three things I want to leave you with, folks, on this training. And the most important thing you can do to truly make big, big money in this business. You guys want to know what those three things are?
Yes.
Do you really want to know what those three things are?
Yes.
Recruit, recruit, recruit. Don't get out of work. No. Just kidding. No. I'm going to tell you something even bigger. Even bigger. Two exposures a day. Even bigger. You want to lie. You want to cheat. And you want to steal. Okay? You want to lie in bed visualizing the future. You want to cheat some more time out of your busy schedule on how you're going to build your dreams and make a better life for you and your family. And you want to steal from all the top leaders all the good information that they can give you. And now, folks, these are the things I'm telling you will help you make big, big bucks in building a business like this. Folks, it comes down to a decision. Just simply a decision in this business. Do I need to go back? Oh, sorry about that. So, it just comes down to a decision in this business. You just simply need to decide that you want to make it work. And some people, even though you're here, you may have been in the business for a while, but you haven't decided because you've never been in Players Club. You know, and Players Club is just a decision. For instance, Luke, where's Luke? Luke, he had over 40 memberships last month. 40 memberships. I mean, he is literally a decision away from executive director. Just a decision. And so it literally just comes down to a deciding. What is decide? You know, so what it has in common with side? Pesticide, suicide, homicide. What is all in common with those words? Something's gonna die, right? So what about decide? What does decide mean? Decide. It is that you cut out all of the other alternatives. You have decided on something and you cut out all the other alternatives. Mediocre life is no longer going to be an option for me. You cut it out and you decide, I'm going to have a better life and this is the vehicle that will allow me to have it. So, folks, I'll tell you, in deciding, is this mine? Thank you. I had decided that I wanted to be a doctor of chiropractic. So as a doctor of chiropractic, there was many challenges. Me and my twin brother, we made that decision together. You know, it was a twin thing. We had to do it together. But we decided that we wanted to become doctors of chiropractic. So we said, you know what, we're going to do this. So we went out there and we got into high school. And we got into high school and we barely graduated high school. Literally, they gave us credits just so we can graduate. I got a chemistry credit just for showing up for the rest of the semester and cleaning off the science desk. Literally, gave me and my brother a credit just to do that because they didn't want us in high school anymore. I graduated high school and I literally could not read a book. I couldn't read a book. I never read a book. Now, it's interesting, the average person who graduates from high school never completes one book, but I never even did one book. And so I didn't know how to read, literally. I couldn't read. But me and my brother and my twin brother, we decided, well, let's go on to college because that's what everybody else is doing. So we went to the local junior college. And after the first two semesters, we both made a 0.0 GPA after two semesters. What happens after two semesters in college when you make a 0.0 GPA? You're out. You're out. First time's probation, you're out on the second time. So here we are, dropped out of school, have no future, have no idea what we're going to do, have no idea how we're going to become doctors of chiropractic. We have this goal, we want to accomplish it, but we don't know how we're going to do it. So we decided, you know what, we already made the decision, but we got to find a way. Well, first thing we thought, we need to learn how to read. And so we started reading books. And the challenge that we had a lot of learning disabilities, dyslexia, ADD, and I mean all kinds of other things that you probably never even heard of. But we had these learning disabilities, but I never looked at them as a disability. One of the first books I read, well, I started learning how to read by actually reading the scriptures, the Bible. Not an easy read to learn how to read, but that's what they used to do in the olden days, right? That's what they read. They read the Bible. Started with that. But then I started to read other books, books on dyslexia and how to deal with dyslexia. And at the end of this book, it talked about all the great people who had dyslexia and what they were able to accomplish, like Albert Einstein and Tom Cruise. And I realized, you know what? I'm not what this society is labeling me as. I can do whatever I want, just like these people did. I just have a different way of learning. So anyways, I taught myself how to read. How do I learn how to read? I taught it by reading the scriptures. I remember when I went and I served a mission for my church for 2 years. And when I was going and we'd have a little Bible study together and we're reading the scriptures, and we all go around reading a verse in the scriptures. And I would read my verse and I'm like reading words and words are like bouncing all over, you know, the book. And I'm like, you know, trying to read it. And I saw these guys over across the way and they're like, hey, what version of the scriptures is he reading? And I laugh about that now, but it wasn't funny then. But anyways, I continued on. And I learned how to read. I came back and I attempted to go to college one more time, me and my twin brother. We came up here to Utah, where we knew nobody, there would be no distractions. And we decided that we were going to play baseball for Utah Valley State Community College at the time. And Mike was a great left-handed pitcher. I played short and second. And we realized that, you know what, without financial support, trying to be able to make baseball and good grades happen, it wasn't going to happen. So we dropped baseball. We decided to pursue our grades. When I started that school, it was really quite embarrassing because they gave me an entrance exam to find out where do we place in our classes. And so, you know, not having being a victim of the Texas education system, I took this placement test, and me and Mike were there together, and the counselor looks at the test and goes, do you guys have learning disabilities? You know, for someone who has a learning disability, that wasn't a really fun thing to, you know, have to answer. And so we're like, yeah, we do. And she goes, I want you to meet somebody. So she introduces us to the school counselor. The school counselor does all this extensive testing and just does amazing stuff to work with us. My first math class started with single-digit addition. My first English class was what's a noun, what's a verb. My first reading class was literally, I mean, it was books my daughter who's eight, didn't even, and my daughter's eight's reading right now, That was way beyond what I was reading when I first started this class. But I started really remedial classes. It took me a year and a half just to get to college level classes. A year and a half. But I built a good foundation. I learned how to read, and I started with a good foundation, and then I went on, and 5 years later, I didn't end up on the dean's list, I ended up on the dean's high honor list with a 3.89. So, folks, all of that came from a decision when I was 14 years old. I just simply decided that's what I wanted. And so, but then I said, you know what, anything's possible. I can go on and become a doctor of chiropractic. So then, you know, I remember when we started school, we started our second attempt in college, I got a letter from a very close family member that said, you know what, guys, really, you should drop out of college because you know that you will never succeed. You know, you got your scared dream stealers. You'll find them in this business. If you haven't found them already, they will try and take those dreams away. And we tried to become on something great, and they wanted to take those dreams away. He said, you know what? You guys are really good with your hands. You really ought to go into being, you know, maybe a trade school, you know, where you can learn how to rebuild cars and stuff like that. I'm really the only doctor I know that actually knows how to rebuild engines. I know how to do that. I am good at that. But it's not what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a doctor. So I went on, I went through undergraduate school, decided to go to chiropractic school, and now I'm a doctor of chiropractic. It all came from a decision. But here's why I don't practice. That was a goal when I was 14 years old. I decided I want to be a doctor. I continued and I became a doctor, even though everyone said it's not possible for you to become a doctor. But I did it anyways. And so it all came from that decision. I wasn't going to give up on it. And so then I looked at, you know what? I got started in prepaid legal. And you know what? Here I am getting started and I see an amazing opportunity to change the quality of my life. I realized for the first time I can create residual income and leveraged income. I became a doctor because I thought it would give me the ultimate lifestyle. When I found that there was a better lifestyle, I wasn't going to hold my education and the time I invested in that captive to create a better life. So when I started, thank you, when I started building prepaid legal, the dream stealers came out of the woodwork. It was amazing. Even my own father, my mother, you know, those things never worked. My mother-in-law, oh my God, my stepmom, she was the most negative person. We always got together on Sunday for Sunday dinners with the family, and she would always say, oh yeah, that's what they always say. They never make any money of that. You know, how much money are you making, you know? And she's really being a snot about it. And so I'm like, Kim, we just got started. Uh-huh, that's what they all said. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and now today, she gets a 1099 tax statement every year in the mail just to let her know my money. But anyways, I'm just kidding. You know, Dave Seville, I love what he says. You know, he says when he gets buried, he wants to get buried face down so all the dream stealers can kiss his butt. But, because there's going to be dream stealers. They're going to come out there and they're going to try and take your dreams away, folks. But here is an environment that will support those dreams. Why people quit this business, even if they're not having success, is so beyond me. I mean, you have all the tax benefits. It's saving you money. It's paying you money, tax-wise, just to be in this business if you never made it done. But why people quit the business, I'll take that away. Not financially speaking, the relationships. Where else are you going to go to support those dreams? Where is she going to go to teach you that you can become more, that you can have more? So I get started building my business in prepaid legal. I have all the dream stayers that say you can't. Today, platinum executive director. I have an amazing business doing over 1,300 memberships a month, 300 recruits a month. I mean, my future has never been brighter. And the lifestyle, the dreams, to be able to, you know, to be able to live on the foothills of the Rocky Mountain National Forest, to have a beautiful home, to be able to have a car that used to be on my desktop, on my screen, you know, save room as my dream car. Now I own it. Now I drive it. You know, to be able to not have to wake up to an electronic rooster. You know, I wake up to my son who wakes up and he shakes me. He loves to go jogging with me. As he rides his bike, I'm going jogging next to him. It's awesome to be able to wake up and go jogging with my son at the crack of 10. I mean, to be able to, you know, take my daughter to New York City on a Broadway date, you know, just a daddy-daughter date. Say, honey, you want to go to New York City and see some of the greatest plays in the world? She's into theater, loves that stuff. And just be able to take her and just go and just enjoy those things. Folks, that kind of lifestyle, that kind of dream is because of prepaid legal. And what's interesting, there's a lot of people that make money and other sources that make money in prepaid legal. Every bit of my lifestyle, my dream, didn't come from chiropractic. It came from prepaid legal, and it'll go for you too if you stay the course. Thank you. back on up here, Dr. Hughes, real quick before you sneak out of here. We have a nice little gift for you. I've been to his house in Colorado. He has a beautiful, beautiful home. But that home is missing one thing. And that home is missing a nice coffee table book about the incredible things that we have here in the state of Utah. So, and it's missing all the comments from the people that have enjoyed, you know, just the pearls of wisdom that you've shared with us over the last, you know, literally 24 hours that he's been here. And right after we're done, if you'd like to share some thoughts with Dr. Hughes, we'll leave this book up here so you can come up. You can jot down to just a quick thought real quick for him before we get out of here. But you can take that home. We can't say thank you enough to his wife and his children for loaning him to us during this busy time of the year. And so our heartfelt gratitude to you and your family for loaning us you and coming here again.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Real quickly, is Joshua Charles Anderson in the room? You recognize this? You recognize the few $100 bills that are in the back? Do you have identity theft protection? What do we want him to do to get this back? How well do you sing? Have you seen American Idol recently? Oh, come on up. Give that to you. Thank you for whoever. There you go. I guess if you're going to lose your wallet, it's good to lose it amongst friends. There's a lot of places in America that they'd be on a shopping spree right now. So whoever the honest person was that found that and turned that in, again, thank you. It's just so nice to work with people that have integrity that, you know, even though there's cash and everything else in there, they didn't think twice about it. They just made sure that, hey, look, we give that back to the right person. And hopefully you guys today have been enriched. Your heart's a little bit more full, your mind's a little bit more full. It just shows the importance of never missing an event. Never walk out of a Super Saturday saying, I'm going to see if I can make it next month, and if I can, then I'll just get a ticket then. You always want to leave here already with your ticket, so it's on your calendar, so you move everything else around the next event. I know there's some people today that you picked up that puzzle piece that your business is missing. You were inspired to say, you know, if a guy can go from 0.0 GPA to a doctorate and then say, that's not good enough because they make good money, but they don't have the lifestyle that I want. I'm going higher than a doctorate. No, it's not a diploma you put on your wall. It's something that your wife and kids frame in their hearts when they just know that they have ultimate time freedom with you for the rest of your life. And if something tragically happened to Dr. Hughes, his wife and kids are taken care of, not because of a good insurance policy that he would have to pay for, but because of culture that he's built all over the United States. You guys, that kind of stuff is absolutely priceless. And some of you, that was the message you needed today. I need to stay in this one more month. I need to revamp. I need to start building some of these culture things with my team. I need to start communicating with my team better. You picked up some things that will make you a better person. And you guys, you know what? We're going to have another phenomenal leader next month. But I want to tell you a little story about how this leader came to be our guest. Mr. Udy picked me up on our way to the Dominican Republic to go to the airport and picked up the cooks. And I was checking my voicemail messages. I got all, you know, Super Saturdays lined up for months in advance. And I get this message. And I don't know if you can hear me.
Hey, calling you from Los Angeles. Just got back here in town from a little trip into New York with my team out there. Listen, man, I got some tough news for you, bro. I really want to come out to Utah, but I am over-traveling, and I was basically scolded by Mark Schmidt this weekend. way too much traveling, and I've got people on my team running for the ring. I'm running for the quarter, and I cannot afford to leave town again in October, in August.
Anyhow, I'll go through and summarize a 4-minute message of apologizing for not being able to come. He's over traveling. I mean, this man's been over traveling, but the guest that we had lined up for next month is just like, man, you know, I told you I could do this date or this date, and you know, now, you know, my this guy's pushing for the $250,000 ring. I mean, he's in his 20s, this close to locking up $250,000 a year in residual income. I mean, the guy's busy. Anyway, you look at it. He's like, man, Dave, I'm just not going to be able to fit this in. Now, we're about ready to get on an airplane to fly to the Dominican Republic, and I get this message. I know that we're flying home on Thursday, and we're recovering from vacation, and on Friday I'm picking up Dr. Hughes and I'm hosting him, and on Saturday I'm here. And I'm like, oh my gosh, when am I going to find the time to find another guest to replace this gentleman that was going to come? And I ran into this gentleman down in the Dominican Republic and at dinner, and he's like, dude, I'm so sorry, you know, I'll promise I'll come out in the winter, we'll do a snowmobile and trip and stuff like that. But I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to fly home and I have to promote for the next month, and I don't have anybody. I don't have any guest. And, you know, I'm stressing about it. And yesterday, I'm on the phone with another $100,000 ring earner, you know, kind of, you know, talking about my travel schedule, because I'm going to Oregon on Tuesday to work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday in Oregon, and their Super Saturday next Saturday. And I'm telling him, you know, we're confirming our travel plans and where, what cities I'm going to be in. And I told him, you know, I just ran into a wall. I lost my Super Saturday guest. And he's like, Dave, I'll come do it. Just tell me the day. I'll block out everything on my schedule. I'll come down and do your event for you, since you've come up here so many times to do our event. You guys, finding ring earners to travel into your marketplace, I mean, you got to book these guys like 6 months in advance a lot of times. We were talking to Michael Humes at the ice cream shop, and talking about upcoming dates. For 4 years, I've been trying to get Michael Humes out here. And him and Darnell Self said, you know what, Dave, we just got to go. Mr. Self was like, he was telling Michael Humes, I'm telling you, Michael, that is the funnest trip you'll ever go on in all of prepaid legal when you go to Utah. They will take very good care of you, and it's amazing what they do for you and how they roll out the red carpet and treat you. He goes, all right, you've convinced me. Let's pick a date. And we picked a date. It's on the schedule. I'm not going to tell you what date it is, but it's on the schedule. Not just Michael Humes, but Darnell Self with him. Both of them. I know for some people, you know, Darnell Self, Mike Humes, the name doesn't mean anything to them. You know, I can just say names and it doesn't mean anything. Here's the thing, whether the name means anything or not, don't we pick up a pearl of wisdom every single time you attend an event? And you may or may not know the ring earner, $100,000 ring earner, RVP for the state of Oregon, Mr. Gene Leiter. You may or may not know him. I've known him for many years. And this is an absolutely incredible individual. And when he heard about our predicament that I was in, and a very, very busy man, huge organization nationwide, he was just like, Dave, I'll be there. I'll cover it. So next month we have Mr. Gene Leiter, $100,000 ring earner, out of Oregon, coming. And I'm excited because I get to go up there and hang out with him. He's taking me golfing, and we're going to have some fun up in Oregon and work hard, and then he's going to turn around and be down here the next month. But here's the thing I want to leave with you today. Is you need to decide. Are you going to try to be there? Or are you just going to be there? Here's how you just be there. You leave here with no other option available. Period. Because if you say, well, I'll try to be there, you'll say, oh, okay, let me think. July 11th. I think I can fit it in. I'll see what happens between now and then. And then something comes up, and then you're like, I couldn't make it to Super Saturday because something else came up. Versus if you leave here with a ticket in your pocket, ready to go, then if something else comes up, you go, I can't. I already have that date blocked out to be mentored by one of the top trainers in the entire company. So everything else kind of starts to fit around your schedule, your decision to be there. I can tell you this much, in working with Dr. Hughes for 9 years, he never, ever misses an event. Period. Never. That's a common thread that I've seen in all the leaders. They don't say, I'm going to try to be successful in this business. They just say, I'm going to be there. And if the common denominator of all the top money earners and ring earners and the people that have the lifestyle that we all want is they never miss an event, why would anyone ever miss an event? But that list that I showed you of over 50 people in this state, our good friends, people on our team, that had a promotion that should have walked the stage today, somehow they didn't decide to be here. Somehow it became an option. You can go if you want to. It's an elective thing. And the tragic part about that is they could be the next Ryan Burns, Brett and April Cook, the next executive director that retires you wealthy. Maybe the puzzle piece that they needed in their business to really take them to the next level was the vision that Dr. Hughes laid out today. But they didn't get that vision. I don't know when that's going to be shared again. But we need to get our people here. So for those of you that want to be here with more than just yourself, anyone that buys 4 tickets today for next month's event will get the 5th one free. I know this much. I want as many people on my team as possible here. If everybody just bought 1 extra ticket, we've exceeded the fire marshal's limit. We will not be able to let in those new people in. I'd love to see the day where we have to turn people away at the door. I don't want to ever see that, but I'd love to see the day where you have a whole section is just your team. Maybe 2 sections is just your team. What would happen to your business over the next 3, 6 months, a year, if all of a sudden you had 5, 10, 15, 20 more people on your team here when one of the top leaders shows up in town? I'll let you know that the following month after Gene Leiter is going to be Harlan Stonecipher, August 1st. Put it down, August 1st. We're not going to have enough tickets available for that event. So, I just know anytime Mr. Stonecipher comes in town, we're out. The people that are here in July will be the people that get all the tickets that are available for Mr. Stonecipher. So how important is it that your team's here in July? They won't be here in August if they're not here in July. That's just how it's going to be. And when you see the treatment and the fun things that we're going to do, the festivities that we do for Mr. Stonecipher, yeah, we're going to have to inclusion, exclusion. Here's how people get excluded. We say, I'm sorry, but you didn't show up when the tickets were available. And that's why we couldn't get you in the doors. Those of us that have been here when the event people monitor our rooms, trust me, these CMCs know, there have been times where systems trainings, they've come in and said, you need to send 5 people away because it is over fire code and they have no leniency on it. So I'm just warning you guys early because you guys are the ones that showed up. You decided today to take your business serious. But over 50 people on our team should have been promoted and walked this stage, didn't know, for some reason or other, didn't decide to be here. I want them to be here. I want them to be eligible to have tickets for Mr. Stonecipher, but only the people that show up in July will be eligible to buy them, and they'll be gone in 15 minutes as soon as the Super Saturday is over. Trust me, they will. So, that's why I say, you can buy them for your team. So if you wanted to get 5 today, you only pay for 4, you resell those other 4 to the 4 people on your team that didn't make it here, you got in for free, you got your ticket for free. I don't care how you do it. I'd buy 5, just say, I'm going to recruit 4 people between now and next Saturday, and I don't want my 4 people that are brand new people on my team to be turned away at the door because there's too many people here, so I'm going to guarantee that my people have a seat in that building. However your vision is, that's probably my phone. Anyhow, that's only because I turned it off so I could let you guys hear the recorded message and stuff like that. Anyhow, ladies and gentlemen, July 11th, next Saturday, don't miss out. If you want tickets, they're available at the back table. Get your tickets before you leave, and we'll see you all at the top. Have a great week this week.